Welcome to Season 3 of Pick the Plot. I'm Rebecca McKinnon, your host for this interactive story experience. Together, we'll travel through an original story. A story that's being written as we go, so you can have a say in what happens. This season, we're experiencing an adventure. Will it be a pirate story? A game of cat and mouse? A tale of revenge or betrayal? It could be a combination of some or all of those things. It's up to the listeners, driven by each choice you make. Because on this podcast, the listeners get to pick the plot. At the end of our last episode, Cid had to vote to either sail the safer route of the ship's customary waters, or face the risks that would come with going after the treasure. The vote was unanimous. You wanted Cid to go after the treasure. Episode 3, Training. Cid sank into a crouch. He circled the captain, his bare feet gripping the deck planks he spent so much time scrubbing. He narrowed his eyes, waiting for the time to strike. For her part, Maggie stood tall. Relax. She turned with Cid, keeping half an eye on him. The hint of a smile lifted her cheeks. The tip of Cid's dagger twitched upward as he lunged. Maggie knocked his hand out of the way, as easy as breathing. She deflected every one of his attempts. How many knife fights have you been in? Cid's shoulders dropped as he straightened.
One, if you count me and the dagger against the night watchman and his nightstick.
Maggie's smile unfurled, lighting her face. What damage did you do? Cid paused. He could almost taste the dankness of the alley again, almost see the night watchman's hate-filled eyes. I sliced his arm. I saw the result. It was a good cut. Long. Deep enough to stop him without causing permanent damage. Maggie's grin turned feral. We're heading into fights where you'll need to cause as much damage as you can. You can't afford mercy. He hadn't tried to show mercy. He'd acted on instinct.
I've always tried to avoid fights, he admitted.
I'd rather intimidate or trick. Maggie barked a laugh, and the sailors who'd been pretending not to watch them spar gave up and stared. You definitely belong with us then, Silver Cid. Our goal is to intimidate other ships into giving us what we're after. We fight when we've no other choice. Cid nodded. He was learning life at sea wasn't much different from life on land. You worked hard, slept when you could, and fought only when you had to. The biggest difference was that at sea, he knew where his next meal was coming from. Maggie motioned to the dagger in Cid's hand. Are you ready to try again?
Are you sure I can't have a cutlass?
The longer blade would mean he'd be able to do more damage without getting as close as he'd need to with a dagger. Maggie's eyes drifted around his edges as she looked at the other only she could see. Her voice turned lazy and hot. This dagger is bound to you, and your fate is bound to this crew. You can use any weapon, but only with this blade will you survive. Cid sighed. Then I'd better learn to fight with it. Maggie lifted her chin. Back to work! The crew came to life, turning their backs to the captain and Cid as they returned to the rhythm of sailing. Maggie lounged against the mast. Most ships don't hold cargo that captains and crews are willing to give their lives to protect. When we hoist the Jolly Roger, our job is to persuade the stubborn ones to stay still. So we become what others fear. Wild. Crazed. Dangerous. The attack Cid had witnessed, had been part of, came to mind. The men and women he'd chosen to trust had been different. Maggie had loosed her hair to fly wild around her head. Others had held blades in their teeth or twisted their faces into masks of horror. But Cid had learned this wasn't who they were. We prey on that fear. We're always ready to fight, to kill when it's called for.
Maggie gestured to Sid's dagger. When we face that treasure ship, you need to wield that blade well. The captain of that ship will order his crew to fight. You're not the only one on this ship who favors a dagger. I'll ask Kat to teach you what you should know. Sid let out a deep breath. He still wanted a cutlass, but if he was tied to the dagger, he'd just have to make the best of it. When you sparred with the captain, you kept stabbing at her. Don't stab. Sid held up the dagger. The sun hung low in the purple and orange sky, but the blade still caught the light. It has a pointy bit there at the end, for stabbing. Kat squared her narrow shoulders. She couldn't have been any older than he was, and she was quite a bit smaller. But Sid wanted to flinch under her dark-eyed glare. Instead, he tried to smile. The pointy bit is tiny. She raised her own blade. It wasn't as fancy as Sid's, but it fit her hand perfectly. She caressed the edge of the blade with her fingertip. This is what you use most, this cutting edge. It's a slicing weapon. Sid nodded. He swung his arm in an arc. Kat danced in close to him, and he felt the tip of her knife press against his stomach. Only stab if you know you can hit something important. Somewhere you can do real damage. In the gut or the heart. Then get out of reach quickly. Sid stumbled back a step as Kat slid away from him. He wasn't sure what had just happened. How she'd gotten so close, so fast. There are other places you can stab, but in a shipboard fight, there's no time for precision. You strike hard and fast, or you pay the price. We fight messy. For now, we'll focus on slicing and ways to avoid your enemy's knife.
Right, my enemy.
Sid shook his arms. He'd been in plenty of fights, even if his goal was usually to escape. Don't wait for the fight to come to you. Once Hasty Hank gives the order, go on the attack.
Keep the enemy off balance? Sid asked. This was something he understood.
Keep them off balance, scared, backed into a corner. Whatever it takes to win. Kat beamed at him, and Sid discovered he wasn't quite as scared of her as he'd been when they'd begun. Part of the fight is to confuse them. Make them think you're aiming for one target, but get them in another.
As the sun sank and darkness crept over them, Kat taught Sid how to hold the dagger for different attacks. How to keep his empty hand ready to grapple, to knock away incoming blows. To stand tall instead of falling into a crouch. To never duck a blow. That's just a good way to end up with a knife in your face. They took a break when Patty brought food up to them, but when the rest of the crew broke into song and began tossing dice, Sid and Kat went back to practicing attacks. From that night, they trained every chance they could. Sid's muscles became used to the motions. He learned to grapple, and to shield, and to strike. The crew worked or played as Sid practiced, but the weight of watching eyes never lifted. Some of the crew kept half an eye on his progress, but the prickling on the back of his neck told Sid the heaviest eyes belonged to the captain. None of the crew seemed to know why the captain watched him as she did. Most of them had asked Sid, thinking his mind held the answer. Only Maggie knew, and she wasn't one to share things until she was good and ready. Sid was beginning to think she'd never be ready. As a smudge in the distance. As they sailed nearer, it grew, becoming wider and taller, until the cliffs towered over them. They passed alongside the sharp, jagged rocks before adjusting the sails and swinging into a small crescent bay. When his turn came, Sid climbed into a longboat between Patty and Kat. Soon they were on the beach, with sand sticking to their wet legs and feet. Kat tipped her head back and smiled up at the trees.
We're lucky the island was here this time.
It's always nice when we can pick fresh fruit for cook.
Sid looked at Patty, but he didn't seem surprised by the odd comment.
Isn't it always here?
Patty shook his head. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's not.
Land doesn't just disappear or move, Sid argued.
This island does.
Kat's voice was quiet. Her body relaxed, and she looked peaceful for the first time since Sid had met her.
It's here when the captain needs to learn something.
It didn't make sense. Sid opened his mouth to say so, but Patty spoke over him.
We don't have to understand it.
Finally, Sid shrugged. Maybe it was better if he didn't understand. After they gathered a mountain of fruit, Patty sat back to watch as Sid and Kat readied to spar. They wrapped their blades in long strips of old, worn-out sail to blunt the edges. They circled each other, and somewhere off to the side, Hasty Hank yelled,
"Attack!"
The shout startled Sid, but he didn't have time to think about it because Kat was throwing herself at him. Sid jumped forward, blocking her attack while swinging his own dagger toward her. They traded blows with bruising force. Kat was holding back, matching his skill, giving him the chance to practice. But Sid's muscles remembered the motions, and he didn't have to think about his actions. They were becoming part of him. When they finally set the fight aside, Sid realized the entire crew had formed a loose ring around them, watching. He tried to stretch free of the aches he'd collected while wishing they'd found somewhere secluded to practice, away from so many eyes. Sid looked up, wary, as Hank stepped close. The raven tattoo on the large man's scalp seemed to ruffle its feathers as leaf shadows danced across them. His heavy hand settled on Sid's shoulder.
"You're improving, whelp. You're ready for most battles we'll come up against. One day soon, you'll be something to truly fear."
Sid grinned as the praise spread through him. He'd never been good enough at something for anyone to comment on it, and Hasty Hank was difficult to please. The only thing better was when Kat nodded her agreement. Happiness stayed with Sid through dinner and the nighttime merrymaking and his quiet turn on watch. Sprawled in the sand, Sid watched the stars. Before escaping on the Fortune's Queen, he'd rarely seen stars. When the grimy air was thin enough to let their light through, there were just a few sickly, pale freckles against the night. At sea, they were brilliant jewels swaying gently as the ship rocked. Hanging over this island, they put the world to shame. He wanted to share the discovery with someone. It had been a long time since he'd had something to share, or someone to share it with. He reached out to shake Kat awake. His fingertips brushed against her arm, but she was just out of reach. Raising up on his elbow, movement at the edge of the beach caught his eye. He pushed himself up higher. Maggie, her wild curls dusted with silver starlight, slipped into the trees. A breath later, a wide-shouldered form moved after her. Maggie had said the crew was to stay on the beach, so where were those two going? Kat's words from earlier rang in his mind.
The island is here when the captain needs to learn something.
Could Maggie be trying to learn something while the rest of them slept? But who went after her, and why? Sid looked back at Kat resting on the sand, then back to the place Maggie had disappeared and wondered. Should he wake Kat to look at the stars like he'd planned? Or should he go after the captain and whoever followed her and see what he could learn? Sid follow Maggie in her shadow, or will he stargaze with Kat? It's your choice. You can vote for your plot choice on our website, rebeccamckinnon.com/pick the plot. Voting will be open for 1 week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I look forward to seeing where our story goes from here. Thanks for listening.